Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jot Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jock Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome to episode 114 of Jock Talk. Glad to have you aboard as we get ready to discuss this 105-98 Mavericks loss in game two of the NBA Finals. Hope you are prepared to be entertained and dazzled for the next hour or so. Job, that's what happens when you get caught in between, say, Joe and Big Dog and Dog. What's the sit rep, bro?
Let's see. We are 1 minute and 7 seconds in. We are 5-5, my friend.
Well, normally he says Jacques Talk is a go, and then I start talking.
Well, here, Big Joe is barely a go.
I was going to say, we working through some, I fought the good fight a few weeks ago when I didn't have no voice and all, and I was hacking and coughing the whole show.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Big Joe got his own issues today, but he going to work through it like the soldier that he is.
All right, then.
And we'll see where we get to.
Operation Jacques Talk.
Episode one.
Operation Jacques Talk is a go. How about that?
All right, this is all good, baby. This is episode 114, which means 14s that come to mind. Not a whole lot of them, dog.
Sure.
I'm going to give y'all one.
Sure.
What? Who come to mind for you?
Brad Anderson, Gary Hogaboom.
Brad Johnson.
And Gary Hogaboom. Yeah. And Andy Dalton.
Damn, I'm impressed. I'm going to give you the one that came to mind for me. Eddie LeBaron, the first quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
Little bitty Eddie LeBaron.
Okay, I looked that one up. I ain't going to lie to y'all. I did. But I was so impressed. There's four guys who were number 14 for the Cowboys. Joe rattled off three of them.
Well, there's five. Bell.
Who?
The hybrid linebacker. The hybrid linebacker we got this year.
Oh, Marquise Bell?
Marquise Bell.
Oh, well, yeah. You're right. I ain't done enough research on Marquise, even though he an HBCU guy. But anyway, let's move on to the most important matter of the night. Your Dallas Mavericks down 105-98. I thought it was a pretty interesting game from start to finish. The Mavericks came out as I figured that they would. They met the emotion of the moment, and they played well in the first quarter. But even in the first quarter, man, and I was just keeping some notes to myself. Some of them I put on Twitter, some of them I didn't. They played well. They started well. They were doing everything well. The defense was good. The Celtics weren't hitting. And I was like, the most they got, I think, was an 8-point lead. And I was like, you know what? For as good as they playing, they should be ahead a little bit more. And if part of that is, as the game was taking shape, they started with that daggone missing free throw stuff, man. And perhaps you could do that even in the playoffs against some lesser teams. I think y'all know now, even through the first five or six quarters against Boston, that they've been the number one team in the league this year, all year, for a reason. They're really damn good. And when you're playing somebody that good, you literally can't give them anything. You know what they remind me of right now, dog? And it literally just popped in my head. They remind me of playing the Patriots when the Patriots were at their best, which is you could beat the Patriots, but you damn near had to play a flawless, perfect game because every time you make a mistake, they capitalize. And so that's what it felt like to me. And then I look up and I put this on Clapper. I told y'all, follow me on Clapper. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor is the handle. It's a TikTok-based social media site. And what I did was, man, I was like, the Mavericks have played a really good first half. The Celtics have only made 3 out of 15 threes. And yet, they're up by 3. This is a problem. How did you feel? How did you see it at halftime?
I thought they let it get away from them because they had a good rhythm going. We'll break down a little later on what I thought they should have done versus what they did do. But I thought they played well in the first half. But when you let a good team, and that's what the Celtics are, they're a good team. Like, as in everybody's doing something. So that's the difference between all those other times Jason Tatum and them been to the championship, because they wasn't a team yet. But that's some team basketball where everybody's contributing.
Well, I thought they, so I was interested to see how they, and they got off to a good start in the third quarter, because I figured Boston would come out strong in the third quarter, and it took them a little while, but slowly they started hitting them threes, not a lot of them, but just enough of them, and the Mavericks couldn't quite find an offensive rhythm. I mean, Luka scored 23 in the first half, Kyrie had 10, nobody else really did anything. They started third quarter trying to get the bigs involved a little bit, and it helped. But the problem for the Mavericks, and this is why I said at one point, you know, there'll be some fans bitching about it tomorrow, which is today, Monday, whether it's about Tony Brothers and officiating or this or that. But it seems to me, and again, this has been going on all year, the Celtics have been one of the best defensive teams all year. They've been one of the best offensive teams all year, which is why they were the only team that won 60 games this year. And, dog, I felt like they just turned up the defense one more notch, and they were just making plays, man. And, I mean, I think that was half of it. And then the other half is, I mean, I just can't emphasize it enough. There's a reason why they are who they are. Now, I have said they wouldn't have won 64 in the West, but they didn't play in the West. They won 64. They can only play the teams that are in their conference. But the Mavericks are not going to beat the Celtics without superb performances from their best players. And Kyrie gave another average performance today. The role players didn't. Think about this, Doc. They're down 2 games to love in the series. Jason Tatum has not yet had a game representative of his talent. Jaylen Brown, in the big picture, was kind of quiet tonight. Like, he was good, but he didn't play like a dude who's All-NBA or second-team All-NBA. He didn't play like that. He had a nice all-around game, hit some big shots, made some nice plays. He didn't dominate. They up 2-0 because Porzingis took over game one, and they separated when he did that. And in game two, Jrue Holiday took over. At some point, I got to tell y'all, Tatum and Brown are going to go off. And it's going to be hard as hell to win that game whenever it is. So the Mavericks have a problem. It's not a problem that they can't solve. But again, they have to play perfect. They're going to have to limit their mistakes, and then they have to hope that one of the all-time sports cliches is true, which is their role players will play better at home than they did on the road. I mean, otherwise, it's going to be a quicker series than anybody imagined. And I think, that, like, again, the Mavericks didn't play badly today at all. I would say they played a solid game. I don't think they played a good game. What do you think, good or solid? I mean, we're splitting hairs here because they lost.
I think it was solid. I think the strategy is wrong for the Mavericks. Every time...
In what respect?
Well, when they switch, if Tatum's going to guard... If Tatum is going to guard Gafford or Holiday guards Gafford, then you should post him... You should throw it down now.
Because you don't know about that.
Oh yeah, you can.
I mean, he ain't no good on offense, dog.
He can push.
I mean, I guess you want to establish some kind of threat, but that seems to be what they would like for you to do.
Well, he scored when he got it down there. 86-10, and he ain't nobody is making Tatum work. In that situation where he guarding him, you're not making Tatum work. And then Luka is working on the other end. And when Luka got to carry the whole offense, he giving you no defense whatsoever.
Now, we talked about that.
Yeah. But I'm saying if you went five down and you said, all right, I'm going to give it to you down there. Then you make Tatum work a little bit. You play inside out a little bit more. They switch it. They're going to have to switch a little better. That's all I'm saying. I ain't saying make him a start, but he got to score some down there to give you some better options.
I think they did some of that in the second half because he ended up with 13 points. He was 6 of 9 from the field. Had 9 rebounds. I thought he played a solid game. He played hard.
It's hard to.
Even when he didn't. But
it's hard to play like that when you chasing.
Like what?
It's hard to go. It's hard to go five down when you chasing. See what I'm saying? You chasing. You got to catch them from, you know, once they got up and they start running away, you can't do none of that. But if you establish that, that's just another way to attack calls, man. Ain't no way that Tatum should be holding them down now. That's all I'm saying. Because if you don't do that, you still putting Dirk at a disadvantage if you don't throw the ball down there in the post a little bit. It's still gonna do Dirk, but Luka is finding a way to get his stuff. So, but it don't help. He can't keep throwing all them assists off his ass like that.
No, but I mean, hell, he ain't had no assists in game one. So they have yet to unlock the puzzle of the Celtics. They did a better job today, but they still haven't unlocked it yet. I mean, you know, they shot 37% from the field, 30 out of 40. Only 6 out of 28 on threes, 23%. They ain't going to get it done, man. And the problem is, and again, we've seen this, like I use as the example. Who was it? Was it Derek? No, it was Josh Gordon, Josh Green. He is a legitimate wide open three from the right wing. There's nobody in the screen with him. And it's one thing to make it or miss it. It's like he almost missed the rim, dog. Like, you can't clank it that bad when you're wide open. Derek Jones Jr. had one of those from the left wing. And I was just like, when you get wide open threes and your feet are set, I mean, jeez, you got to hit those because, I mean, otherwise you get what you get. Because the Celtics are giving you those and they want you to take them, but you got to hit them. Nobody said it was easy, but, you know, if you're going to stay in the series, that's what's required. It ain't really complicated to me. When I talk about the Celtics, dog, making defensive plays, I think the Mavericks had a chance to cut it to 7. And what happened? Jrue Holiday started messing with P.J. Washington right at the midcourt line. Got the ball knocked loose. Luka get the ball and understands that, damn, we probably going to get a 10-second violation if I don't hurry up. He throws a pass. It gets intercepted by Derek White. They go down, and then Jrue Holiday hits a 3. And I'm like, damn. At that point, I ain't going to lie to y'all. You can check Twitter. That's one reason I ain't going to lie to y'all. I said, ball game. That's it. That's a wrap. Mavericks can't come back from that. And damn if they didn't start hitting some shots, getting some turnovers, grabbing some rebounds, and they down by 5. And they get another rebound, starts to break, 2-on-1. Kyrie gives it up right when he's supposed to give it up. PJ going in, 2 hands, strong for the dunk. And damn if White don't block it, man. Now, Jaylen Brown gave him a shove in the back, which is probably why he couldn't elevate enough to throw it down. But, you know, on the record sheet and in the box score, it says block shot. And I was just like, and that would have cut it to 3, I think. And the Mavericks just couldn't catch a break, man. Jaylen Brown came down, layup, 7-point lead, ball game. So I really like to come back. It would have been interesting to see what would have happened if they could have got within 3. But again, man, every time Boston needed a defensive play, them damn boys made one tonight.
Well, it helps when they know they. It seems like they know exactly what Kyrie is gonna do. I mean, he ain't all the sauce he had against other teams. It kind of disappeared against the Celtics. What's that? 11 in a row.
Something like that.
Yep. And I wonder how pissed he gonna be. And after the game.
What you mean in terms of answering questions?
Yep.
You know what? I don't think this version of Kyrie will be pissed. I think this version of Kyrie will continue to be philosophical.
One could only hope.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of it is he's probably got Jrue Holiday on him, who's one of the best defensive players in the league.
Yeah.
So you're not getting a lot of clean looks. If you look at it, part of the way the Celtics play defense, you've seen it on Luka too. They don't always go for your ball fakes and your head up and down head fakes that normally get people up and down and allow you to elevate and get your shot off. They don't always go for those.
They switch everything. But that's what I'm saying about the whole post Jason Tatum up. Because they switch everything. They're going to switch no matter what. A couple of times Jrue Holiday was on Gafford. You don't think he win that? That's what I'm saying. It's just, you got to do something unconventional to figure out what they're doing, because what they're doing is too much too late.
That's an interesting question. I don't know if you have to be unconventional. And we can shift into this now. Or if your best players just have to play like your best players. I don't know. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying. I mean, you're not going to win this series if Kyrie Irving averages 14 points a game. It's just not going to happen. I'm not saying you got to average 30, but you're not going to win with him averaging 14. He got 18 shots, which is enough. They're just not falling for him. And again, you know, some of it is Holiday making it hard on him. I don't know how much the crowd and this whole Boston thing has affected him, because as you pointed out, I think he's lost 11 or 12 in a row to the Celtics now as an individual. But he scored 8 in the first quarter, so I thought he was like, okay, I'm going to try to assert myself and impose myself on the game, and it didn't happen. And, again, while we watch the game, man, you just see the difference between Luka and everybody but one or two cats in the league, man, which is, I mean, dude came out and said, okay, I understand what the moment is, the circumstance. I'm going to go for 23 in the first half and make sure we settle down and we in the game. But, again, if you got to have somebody to ride with you. Even Jordan couldn't win it by himself. You know what I mean? He just can't. When you play in elite teams worthy of being a championship, nothing fluky about the Celtics, you have to have guys who will ride with you and play at their highest level, whatever their level is. And we've seen Kyrie hit a whole – we've seen him hit high levels several times in the playoffs. He ain't done it yet, man. And so I'm predicting – yes, I'm predicting. You'll see that in game 3. Of course, I predicted you see it in game 2 and then in game 1, too. But I think this time is for real, man. I think you'll see Kyrie in game 3, because if you don't, it's going to be depressing around here, because it's not going to be competitive. What do you think?
I don't know. I keep saying the same thing. If you can make Boston play bigger, then switching becomes important. You know, it's the advantage to the Mavericks, but as long as you...
What do you think you're going to get from Kyrie? Because you can switch all you want to.
Well, if you got to switch, you're going to get Kyrie off the dribble, into the lane more, and also, he's going to be able to run pick and roll or the lob a little better if you go big on big. And Gafford is quicker than most bigs anyway. So I'm saying if you start getting him, you can't let Tatum guard him. You can't let Holiday guard him. You got to get more movement out your bigs, and that loosens things up for Kyrie. Kyrie got two options. He can dribble you to death right now, If they try to take the three, or he can dribble you to death and try to drive. Ain't nobody moving to the bucket with him right now. So when Kyrie get the ball, it's shake, drive or shoot. Ain't no lob in there. Ain't none of that in there.
No. Well, they've done the, you know, one of the things they did to take away the lob is they took the weak side defender, even if it's a little guy, and told him, hey, when the bigs move up, you move into the lane and disrupt the lob. And I think we saw today a couple times because whoever it was on the stat, I think it was Doris Burke, said that the Celtics basically blitzed a double team 1% of the time this year.
Yeah.
So clearly they ain't doing that. And Luka got so hot that a moment or two they did do that, and then what happened? Oh, where the lob been? Where the dunks been? Oh, here they are. And as soon as that stuff happened, the Celtics like, nah, we finna go back to doing what we do.
Well,
he get 50,
pass,
he get 50.
The pass where he hit Exum and didn't even look at him. He had two people chasing him.
Yeah.
So,
it's incumbent that however they do it, whether it's getting the ball to Gafford and making him more of a threat, it's Kyrie finding his shot, whatever it is, they've got to have it because this team was built around two superstars and some 3-and-D wing players. One superstar has showed up and showed why he is, again, one of the two or three best players in the world. He's virtually unstoppable. It's just a matter of whether he make it or miss. And I could tell at the end of the game, just to me, he just got fatigued. I think he had to carry such a big load tonight. He didn't have it at the end. His last couple shots were short. Now, I will say this. Did you see the reports early that said Luka was downgraded to a questionable with a chest contusion?
Yeah.
Did you pay any attention to those?
No, because he was going to play.
Yeah, matter of fact, I figured when I saw that, I was like, oh, he finna be on one tonight, because typically when guys of his ability are really hurting like that, whether it's Jordan's flu game or whatever you want to pick up, they take their focus and concentration to another level to get through whatever is really hindering them. And so I just assumed, he would play, and two, he would have a heck of a game because his focus and concentration would be at his highest. So I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to that. But Luka ended up with triple-double, 32-11-11. Kyrie ended up with 18 points, 7 of 18 from the field. And even bigger than that, man, he just, like, Jason Tatum has not had a big scoring game, but he had 11 assists. He's still making an impact on the game, even though he's not scoring. I just didn't see Kyrie's impact tonight. And, there's not no lack of effort or any of that. Hey, man, the other team is good. I think I pointed that out on Twitter. I mean, at some point, you just got to say, you know, sheesh, Boston defense is just damn good, dog. It's just damn good. And you're not conceding anything. But it's okay to say they've been the best team all year. They done kicked everybody's ass in the playoffs, and right now they're kicking our ass. Can we figure out a way to get back in the series? Because they're making it look real hard right now. And game three, we all know, is going to be a 12-letter cuss word.
What you leave? 8 points at the free throw line?
Okay, you know, that's a good question, man. I look at it like this. They were they were 16 of 24 from the line. I don't look at it like they left 8 points at the line. I know they missed their free throws, but they're not going to go 24-24 from the free throw line. I would say they left 4 points on there. Because the way they shoot free throws, they don't shoot less than 50% on occasion. But this much we know. It's like we said, man, you can't give Boston any help. Because I just said that about the what did I just say? I just said, well, I don't count as 24 as 8 points because they're not gonna shoot that. Well, what the hell did Boston shoot from the line? 19 to 20.
I don't know you.
I'm talking
yourself into my point. I'm telling you, eight points is 8 points.
I mean, it is, but I mean, I understand it.
I'm not
disputing it, but I'm just saying they haven't shot 95% all year. I don't know why I would say I expect them to shoot 90%. If they shot their average, I could live with that. Or if they shot a little bit above their average, it's okay.
All right.
I mean, what do you expect them to make those? I mean, it's bad that they.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I don't expect them to make them.
They supposed to.
I mean, they're supposed to shoot 100% from the field. There's no team in the NBA that shot 100% from the free throw line. That's all I'm saying.
They free. They need to do a better job of hitting free throw. That's just it. We're
not disputing that.
They're the worst team to shoot free throws in the playoffs. You don't help yourself by leaving 8 points out there.
Right. I'm not disputing that.
All right, then.
I'm really not. I'm just saying.
I don't know what you're saying.
I'm telling you. My expectation is they shot 66% from the line. If they're going to be a good free throw shooting team in the playoffs, they can shoot 80%, which would be 4 or 5 more points. But if you make those, if you shoot 80%, maybe you're up at halftime, and it's a different feel and a different vibe. That's all I'm saying. Just like, what they shoot? 6 of 26 from the line on threes. They normally shoot better than that. They normally shoot about 38%. They shot 23 tonight. And Boston was only 10 of 39, and they usually shoot 40%. So, you want people to play to their strength. But, when you're playing a team like Boston, as Joe would say, you got to hit them free throws, even if you don't normally hit them. You have to hit them if you're going to have a chance to win. Because part of the reason why they lost is free throw line, because they were just about the same on threes. In terms of game one, they lost to 3 points by 27 points, I think.
It changed the complex of the game when they know they can foul you and you ain't going to hit it. The Celtics know they the worst team at free throws in the playoffs. So the way you play somebody is going to change it when you know they ain't going to step up to the line and hurt you.
And I would agree with that 100%.
Hit them free throws, you ain't chasing so much.
I mean, we can go back to even if we talk about the Oklahoma City series when they were fouling Derek Lively and then he hit the free throws and they're like, okay, this Shaq Lively thing ain't gonna work, so let's move on to another thing. And so I agree with that you will force Boston to play a different way if you can shoot better, much better at the free throw line. It's a very interesting point. Like, Gafford to me should be a better free throw shooter, and that's because I think he's shooting 65% from the line, but when he makes them, he often swishes them. It's not like he rattling them in. So it seems to me like when he concentrates, he focuses, he do this, he can hit it. He just needs more of that, more consistently. Luke had been an average free throw shooter for a great player his whole career. So he needs to do better. So, they need to figure out a way because they don't have a lot of margin for error. And free throw shooting is one way to win a game. I mean, I don't think that's breaking news. And given their struggles, that's a way that they can win a game. So we move on, continue this.
What? Man, you took the long way.
All right. I mean, man, I'm a nuanced guy.
I got you.
I mean, but
If you tell my son
who got a D in calculus that he's supposed to get an A when he ain't never took calculus, I'm like, that seems unrealistic to me. Seems like an 83, if you study all the time, would be a good grade in that class. Now, I mean, you're capable of making 100, I suppose. But that seems unrealistic to me to think that. That's all I'm saying. Seems unrealistic for an average free throw shooting team to make all their free throws.
If you want to win the championship, if you want to beat Boston, you better hit most of them. That's all I'm saying. They left 8 points out there. They lost by eight. What they lose by? 7 or 8.
Yeah.
There you go. Same shit. I mean, you just gotta be clutch. I ain't saying they gotta be 100%. But you can't leave that many points at the free throw line.
That's so now he's coming around to my point. And that's good.
No, I'm not coming around to your point.
We agree. Appreciate you, Doc.
You just be talking in circles.
No, I don't. I just be trying to be nuanced.
Okay.
I don't speak in absolutes, and I don't speak in generalities. I like to speak in nuanced and specifics. But that makes me kind of a sports nerd, and I don't mind being that. I'm good for the barbershop.
I'm going to leave that alone. Says you. You good for the barbershop.
I'm good for the barbershop. Yeah, barbershop don't do nothing but speak in absolutes.
They start reading that newspaper when you talking to the circle. They be shaking the newspaper or looking at their phone or something. All right, then.
Which one of the role players for the Mavericks has the best opportunity to step up and do something in game 3?
Man. PJ and Gafford. Jones still got his game so predicated on getting those dunks. He's kind of out of it right now.
Yeah, they basically eliminated his part of the game by the way they play. You know, he got 11 points today, and I was impressed by that because I can't even remember him getting but 2 or 3 shots. No, I mean, I think if you're looking for a guy, it probably has to be P.J. Washington, who's capable. And it's not like he had a bad game today, because he didn't. He had 17 points. He had 7 rebounds. 6 of 13 from the field. But we're in a championship, and so you need even more. He needs to be more impactful. And that's kind of a vague term, but you know it when we see it. But again, Jrue Holiday was impactful today. Porzingis was impactful. Even your boy White was impactful in some moments. And PJ had some good moments. He helped them get back in the game, but he's just got to be more impactful. And, you know, man, I think it's okay to say that ain't fair, but that's what's needed. As you would say, if you want to win a championship, that's what's required. Your role players have got to help you some. I mean, if you look in the big picture, the bench was 3 of 11 for 11 points. It just wasn't enough. And one of the reasons why you saw Jaden Hardy in the game early was somebody got to bring some offense. You know, they had X-Men in there because they wanted to speed the tempo up.
Hardy was prolific tonight. 2 minutes and 0 points.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't play long, but they stuck him in there just to see, can you give us a spark on offense? They got to have somebody else to put the ball in the basket, dog. Your leading bench scorer. Let's give it up for Josh Green, 4 points.
I'm saying, Jaylen shit is a little confusing to me because they gave him all the garbage time, and you think they're getting him ready for something, but you give him 2 minutes. 2 minutes tonight. What is that?
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there was some reason behind it. I mean, the same reason why Dante Exum hadn't really played, but he got 11 minutes tonight. But I don't want to nitpick Jaden Hardy and Dante Exum because they're not going to be the difference between winning and losing. Your other guys got to play. They can help you win, but your other guys got to play much bigger factors. We should never be looking at Dante Exum and Jaden Hardy as why they won or lost.
We talked about Jaden Hardy like 10 minutes last show.
Well, I mean, I think we talked about him in context, which is he's a good, just like tonight, he's a guy who can provide some offense.
If, is he going to help you win or he not?
I don't know. If he can provide some offense.
2 minutes don't give you a chance to do nothing. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. We'll see. But I don't know. I don't like the way they play. I don't like the way they playing right now. See, the Mavericks been starting at the top. They've been starting at the damn top of the three-point line. And they've been screening the hell out of people. Well, Boston done took that away from them. And how you going to get that back? By playing your bigs better. By making Boston get bigger. But see, Jason Tatum, to me, is the key to the whole thing, because he's guarding multiple positions. He rebounded, and he's doing assists. He is really the epitome of sacrificing his game for the team, for the better of the team right now. And if you can make him work over there, you might have a chance. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be hard. So, you know, I'm sure they will look at everything, including that. Because you raise a good point. Is that, you know, Tatum, he wasn't good offensively tonight. Shooting the ball. But he still managed to end up with, 18 points?
How many rebounds he have?
Nine.
Yeah, almost a triple-double.
Yeah, 12 assists.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Sure. The way they playing the defense is he putting a lot of his energy into what he's doing on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a smart move on his part. He's trying to win because he understands this. If you win a championship, you can get a middle finger from here on out. I'm too soft, I'm too inconsistent, I'm too this, I'm too that, blah, 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 blah. It does not matter because you have a ring.
It didn't work the other way where it was – they was trying to beat Jason Tatum heavy. It didn't work the other way. It's working right now.
Yeah. And maybe that's because and I don't know this, but I'm just saying, everybody got to come to grips with reality. And maybe he, in his private moments, in his fortress of solitude, his offseason, whatever, he decided that, you know what? I'm a huge part of the team, but I don't need to be – I'm either not capable of being that guy right now, or I don't need to be that guy for this team to win. That guy meaning everything flows through me. I'm the epicenter of everything. On this particular team, with the squad that we got and the players that we got and the system that we got, maybe if I just be good at everything and don't worry if JB – score more points, or Porzingis does this or that, and we can win. It's all good. You know, because like I said, once you get the ring and you're a major part of the championship team, whatever criticism people had, it disappears because you had a validation that comes with getting the ring. And nobody looks back and says, well, he was number two on that team. He really wasn't the lead dog. Nobody cares. All they know is, he had a ring, and he's one of the two best players on the team. Boom. And they still got to get two, but they looking good right now. Jaylen Brown is making big plays. Tatum made some key buckets in the third quarter when they surged ahead. And the Celtics, real talk, man. Now, again, I ain't breaking no news here. They've just played better. I would say that they have played better in – 7 of 8 quarters, or at least 6 of 8. And it don't have to be a lot better. It could be a little bit better. But they've played better, and that's why they're up 2. Because, again, the Mavericks didn't play poorly tonight. The Mavericks played pretty good. They just didn't play good enough. Game 3 is the series. It's up for wraps. It's up for grabs. It will be wraps if they lose. They got to get it. It's a must win. They're not coming back from 0-3. Game three is the game. You get Luka's best. Is at the crib. You should get your role player's best. You should get Kyrie's best. And then hope that it's good enough. Boston has let other people back in the series. They've been known to lose focus. Their mind will wander from time to time. But I'm hoping like hell the Mavericks win game three, because I would like to see the series extend for a little while, man. I like it for it to be interesting. Then game four can be the game of the year. And oh my God, what if the Mavericks win that one? It's tied up at two, going back to Boston. And all the storylines that would occur if that happened. But first and foremost, they got to figure out a way to get three. Not going to be easy by any stretch. We'll see what Jason Kidd can come up with. But I'm here to say, you can put up all the X's and O's you want. At the end of the day, your best players have got to play to your best basketball. And that's with any team in any sport. And so if the Mavericks get good performances from their best players, I think they'll win game three. If not, it's going to be some sad singing and some slow walking off the American Airlines court. What you think, Doc?
You don't want to hear me say, again, they got to switch up. X's and words matter. X's and O's matter. X's and O's matter. Joe's and X's and O's. Joe's matter, but X's and O's matter too. If they don't get another strategy where they can get Kyrie off, it's going to be the same. Because Kyrie is not the biggest guy. He's the quickest guy. But a lot of times he was putting that ball on the floor. And you just felt like shake, 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 brick. Shake, shake, shake. I can't get in the lane. I mean, he got to have some other action with him. And see, one-on-one, it take him too long. It takes too long to shake Tatum. It takes too long to shake Brown. It takes too long to shake Holiday and White. I keep having to go back to your boy Todd talking about 1-5. They got the best people. They got some good defenders. So I don't know. They got to do something. They got to do something different, because seems like Tyree is kind of naked out there. If he don't get a screen, at least have the option to get a screen. That's just how I look at it.
Right. Here's what Jason Kidd had to say after the game. Luka taking responsibility for the loss. Jason Kidd, it's not all on him. We win as a team, we lose as a team. We got to find someone to score besides Luka and Kai. Maybe that's Daniel Gafford. And then here's what Luka had to say after the game. I just had it, then I lost it. Give me 2 seconds if I can find it right quick. It was right here. It's Luka. My turnovers and my missed free throws cost us the game. I've got to do way better in those two categories. So, you know, there you have it. I'll say this for Luka. He do what the great ones do. He'll take the bullet. I think he holds himself to such a high standard that, you know, it just comes with the territory.
I'm not saying Gafford should score 30 points. I'm saying if you just give him a threat down there, it loosens a lot of stuff up. It makes it easier for PJ stay in the corner. It makes it easier for for Jones to set his feet. It give them what they had all year, but they got to get them guys inside. You got to get them guys inside a different way. Instead of lobs, you got to give them some post up. And maybe they change
it. All right, we'll see. Yeah, I think I didn't realize Luka had 8 turnovers. So, yeah, that's a big number. Even if you had 11 assists. You only plus 3 on the turnovers. That's a problem. I think it's a, you know, I think the problem in general with that, and we'll see what happens in game 3, is that the Celtics just refused to give up the corner threes. Like, they gave up the fewest in the league. Even though the Mavericks made the most in the league, or took the most, the Celtics gave up the fewest. And right now, their strategy is working. They just refused to give up them corner threes, which is the shortest three on the court. And they say you can have the other ones, but you're not going to have these.
But that's because they ain't got to move. They can stay where they at. I don't know, Mavericks need to go back to knocking the hell out of people. On them damn screens. People was crying about
moving screens.
The Mavericks illegal screens the whole damn series. I mean, the whole playoffs, each team cried about that, but Boston is so good at switching, they ain't crying about nothing.
Hey, man. Hell of a team.
Yeah.
That's why. We seeing all the reasons why. And all the folks who questioned them and doubted them, they're giving everybody the middle finger right now. Now, they still got to win two more games.
They are. Right.
But they're giving everybody the middle finger right now.
They are. Right. The Mavericks can beat them if they do it right. It's a lot of stuff left on the table. And if you figure it out, they can get them. But I ain't crying. Check this out.
I mean, I think I opened up by saying this game should not dissuade you. If you're a Mavericks fan, this game is like, we had all these opportunities to win and we didn't. Boston did some things and then they'll sit back and go, oh, hell, if we had done this and this and this, we could have won this one too. But this was not a game. Game one, you're like, damn, do the Mavericks have a chance? Game two, it's like, okay, they lost a tough game. But there's nothing that makes you say, oh, this series is a wrap, other than being down 0-2. Now, somebody did point out the only other time Luka's been down 0-2 to a 60-win team, they came back and beat Phoenix in seven games. So we shall see. Kyrie Irving on his performance. A lot of shots were hitting the back of the rim. That can piss you off as a competitor. Offensively, I got to play better. I think that speaks for itself. In terms of what the Mavericks need to do and what Kyrie needs to do. And I continue to say, man, I didn't see the moment being too big for them cats. I think they're just playing a good team with some great defensive players, a great defensive scheme. And they better figure it out between now and game three. Well, I guess Joe agrees with that.
Oh, yep. I'm not convinced that the Celtics, you keep calling the Celtics a great team. They good. They're a good team. But I wouldn't call them great.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that, they're great.
Is that too much nuance for you?
Well, let me add some nuance to it since you took it there.
Okay.
They're a great team in terms of today's NBA for this season. They're a great team this season. They're not one of the all-time great teams, if that makes it better for you.
Nah, it's
all right. But when you win 64 games and nobody six more games than anybody else, and you lead the league in 20-point wins, I'd say for this particular season, you are a great team. And then we can split hairs over where you rank all-time if you end up pulling off this series.
They beat us by seven. They ain't great.
Okay. This is Spicy Joe.
No, jalapeno, I'm not spicy.
Joe. Maybe I call him Jalapeno Joe.
I'm not spicy. I'm just not buying into all that stuff.
All right. You ain't got to buy into it.
Well, there you go. Then don't call me spicy. I'm respectfully disagreeing.
All right. That's fair enough. It's late night on Sunday night and early morning awaits. We'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday when we will spend a little bit of time talking about my second hike. I'm sure that's got a lot of people excited since I was near death on the first one. I'm curious as to see here if Joe has any opinions on what they are about Caitlin Clark and the Olympic team.
We're going to get some WNBA up in here? All right, then.
Yeah, dog. You know what? We gonna get up out of here in a minute, but I like the WNBA.
Oh, you equal opportunity reporter. Any man that covers women's football, they can't say nothing. They can't say nothing. You understand? Nothing. So hey, yeah, you equal opportunity, man. You're equal opportunity reporter, man.
I like the WNBA because if you pay a little bit of attention to the WNBA, the WNBA got storylines, man. They got heroes and they got villains, which is what any good drama has. Even there's a lot of focus on Caitlin Clark. And right now, depending on who you are, she could be a hero or she could be a villain. So she's a character that people pay attention to. You got the Las Vegas Aces. You know, them amongst themselves as a dominant team in the league can be considered a hero or a villain. And then you got Brittany Griner. You got your other girl from UConn, Diana Taurasi. I mean, you got Breonna Stewart with the New York Liberty. You got Invesco, the three-point shooter with the Liberty. You got Connecticut being one of the best teams in the league this year. You got that whole thing between Phoenix and Seattle and I done forgot a name just like this. What's the number 4 pick out of Notre Dame who played with the Wings is now up in Seattle after Phoenix would let him play.
Beautiful. Yes. Beautiful Skylar Diggins. Smith.
Skylar Diggs.
Skylar Diggins Smith.
Yeah. Skylar. So you got her up there trying to put her foot up Phoenix's ass last week. After Phoenix locked her out the gym. I mean, they got storylines. If you got Chicago.
She was fighting Deonna Taurasi. I mean. on the bench.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You got Cameron Sparks in L.A. who's now become kind of a thing. You got the Baton Rouge Cameron, Barbie.
Not Cameron Sparks. Cameron.
Spinks.
She plays for the Sparks.
Sprink. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But y'all know who I'm talking about.
Long, tall, blonde.
But anyway, so they got storylines. I put this out there the other day as we ended up in this impromptu women's basketball conversation. They remind me of women's tennis when it was for Venus and Serena and 2 or 3 others, and they was going back and forth. And it was just all kind of storylines. It was fun to watch
Chris Everett and Martina.
Yeah, but it was just them two. I didn't really get down with them like
man,
that.
They was
I understood it, but I didn't really watch them.
Direct
much.
Opposites.
So sports to me, at the highest level, is all about storylines and heroes and villains. And at WNBA, because of a very small league with 12 teams, you can really get heroes and villains and storylines like a soap opera, man. You know what I mean? So I find all that interesting. And now that the women's college game is picked up, you can follow some of these storylines from college into the WNBA, and that makes it interesting. If you're a sports fan and you just like sports in general, and I think women's basketball, the level of play has increased to the point where, I mean, I don't mind watching the game. I watch a game as much as I watch any game. It don't have to be above the rim, because if you know basketball, they do a lot of great things, whether it's shooting, whether it's running plays, whatever. And this much I know, they'll hit their free throws.
Okay.
So, we still got some more Caitlin Clark conversation for you later. But tonight, we finna get up out of here. Don't forget to follow the YouTube channel, The Real Jacques Talk. We're about to drop episode 2 of Jacques Talk 1-on-1 in the next week or so. And you can also follow the show on IG at The Real Jacques Talk. I'm sorry, it's getting late. I'm on Twitter at JJT Journalist. If you think you follow me, you don't. As I've told y'all, my account has been hijacked and I refuse to pay the ransom. Screw you. And then, don't forget, I'm also on Clapper. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor. We always appreciate Smokey John's Barbecue for being part of the show. Smokey John's Barbecue, 1820 West Mockingbird. My man Brent Reeves enjoying himself in Florence, Italy, celebrating his anniversary this week. Much love to Brent. Much love to Juan. We don't do the show without them. They help make us go. So go to 1820 West Mockingbird. Go to Smokey John's. Check out the Jam Session Bowl when you get a chance. It is food to live for. Don't ever forget that. That's the Jam Session Bowl, Smokey John's Barbecue, 1820 West Mockingbird. Until we chat again, you guys be blessed.